Get us going. Galatians chapter 6, and look in verse 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Father, thank you for the time you've given. I pray now, Lord, that you would just bless our time together in your word. I think of the different missionary updates we heard tonight, and Father, I just pray for your hand to be upon each and every one. Lord, again, just be with us now as we just take a few moments and just look at what your word has for us tonight. Lord, I just pray you'd meet with us in a great and mighty way. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit's presence of power and anointing upon this message. And we'll thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We're going to take just a couple minutes and kind of do a touch-and-go review, if you will, of from last week. Again, we're winding down the book of Galatians. Next week should probably be the last message in the series, but last week we looked at the realm of their trials. We saw that the Judaizers, and they were shunning persecution. Now again, the Judaizers are the ones that they claimed to be part of Christ, but they still wanted to do what? They still wanted to keep the law, and it was very big for them, and they wanted recognition before men. Right? They wanted to be patted on the back. They wanted to be recognized for what they were doing. The Bible says in verse 12, to make a fair show or to please. They wanted to be very visible. We know another passage of Scripture where the Pharisees or Sadducees, and they would walk into the temple and they would pray very loudly, just walk in the middle of the room and just start praying loudly for show. And that's what these Judaizers were doing, right along those same mentality. The Judaizers were seeking self-glory, right? They wanted something that didn't belong to them. It only belongs to God. All of our glory, all our praise, all our admonition should go to the Lord. But they were seeking it for themselves. And trying to keep the law, and that's what they were trying to do, over 1,300 different rules and laws and regulations and so forth, and it's vainglory, it's vanity, and the outwardness of that was also a vain goal. And then we saw in verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should glory. Again, the only glory we should have is in the cross. In the cross of Christ. The cross is our symbol of victory. It's our reminder of the payment of that awful price that Christ and Christ alone paid for our sins. Because we claim the cross for salvation, we must separate from the world. We need to stand away from the things of the world. And then that brings us into verse 15, which is our text for tonight. And it's simply labeled this, the result of salvation. You see, salvation is not evidenced in mandated works. And we're going to talk quite a bit around this piece tonight, specifically around that of legalism. Verse 15, if you look at the first several words there, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything. The word availeth simply means to be strong or to have power. To have power as shown by extraordinary deeds or to be a force. So what he's literally saying here is, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, it doesn't count for anything. This was something the Judaizers were very big on. This was a kind of their preaching platform, if you will. It was a big piece of the legalism part, is that outward show. And they were preaching this, that, well, you can believe Christ, but you also need to be circumcised. That was part of the law. And we know that in Christ Jesus, nothing has any force or influence to salvation. We know that it's for by grace are we saved. We don't need to add anything to that. But they were trying to. You see, it doesn't matter if we follow the law or anything that the law has or does. It doesn't give authority. And this has been the message through Philippians and now through Galatians as well. And the Judaizers were teaching otherwise. And their message was one of legalism. Now, let's just talk about that word, because that word kind of gets thrown around a lot in society today. What does legalism mean? If you were to try to explain it down to just this very rooted piece, not an example of it, but a rooted piece, how would you try to explain that to somebody? Following rigid rules and laws, that's a piece of it. That's what they needed to do. I would try to bring it down to this basic piece, where if you try to take salvation plus or minus anything, you're in the realm of legalism. Right? If you try to say that, well, you've got to be saved. Yep, that's important. That's good. Because that's what the Judaizers are doing. They're saying, yes, you need to be saved. Or they're saying, yes, you need Jesus. All right? That was their platform. But then they're saying, you also need, in this case, circumcision. So if you're trying to add anything to the Word of God, that's legalism. We're going to look at a couple different pieces of it this evening. And you say, Pastor, why are we doing that? Well, the Bible's talking about it, so we're going to look at it. It's important for us to understand, because sometimes, even if we say we don't believe something, our actions, the way that we treat and just live, sometimes teach a different message. Strictly defined, legalism is adding works to salvation, attempting to mix human works with God's glory. We try to add, or we try to take away from those things. Legalism, in this sense, is firmly rebuked all through the epistle of Galatians. There is, however, a sense where we can become legalistic in our spirit by focusing, and this is something we want to talk about for a minute, on performance rather than elevating God's grace. It's so easy, and it's also so dangerous, to focus so much on what we do, right? What we do for God. And is it good that we do things for God? It is, but here's the problem. And if you caught it in my statement there, it's not about what we do for God. It's just about what God does. As soon as we add that we in there, we're crossing the bounds of legalism. I'll be very candid. I was preparing this Sunday's message, and I'm always excited about preparing Sunday's message, but this Sunday, being Vision Sunday, man, I've been praying on it and just asking the Lord, and I had to be very careful just in my own thought, because I wanted to do a quick recap of what 2022 has been. And I caught myself falling into this mentality of this is what we did. No. It's not what we did in 2022. It's what God did. And you say, why do you say it that way? Well, it's just so easy. You say, well, it's just kind of semantics. It can start that way, but that potentially can lead down a very dangerous path. We said a few weeks ago, and when we're studying, that we've got to make sure that we stay focused. And, you know, when someone compliments us on something, what should be our response? Praise the Lord, right? If you're able to sing, and we know the story, I'm not, right? But if you're able to sing and someone says, well, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for that. You see, that's just praising the Lord. Thank you. You know, praise God for it. And that's good. But when we focus on that performance rather than elevating God's grace, we're crossing the line into legalism. You see, Jesus warned about the tradition of the elders, man-made rules that in some instances actually contradicted the law of God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Keep a marker or your little thing there in Galatians, we will come back, but Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to see just a piece of this. Excuse me. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, this wasn't because of sanitary reasons that the Pharisees were coming after Jesus and the disciples, okay? Just understand that. It wasn't because, oh, well, they're dirty and they didn't wash their hands. Like, that's just not what we do. That wasn't it. You see, there was a great tradition in the washing process before sitting down for a meal or I don't want to use the word communion, that's not correct, but something like a Passover meal or something. There's a lot of tradition behind that, and they weren't doing it. And the Pharisees are coming after Jesus and the disciples. And then verse 3 says, "But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." I'll give you kind of just the caption of this, if you will. He's saying, listen, your tradition are trumping the law of God, the commandments of God. The Bible says, do this or don't do this, and you're taking what your tradition says over what the Bible says. Now think about that just for a minute. Do we see that in our world today? We see it all over the place. And you know, I'm not trying to bash one religion or another, but it's true. Just it's apparent everywhere we look, and we've got to be so cautious of that. And I'll say this, it's not just in a religion or in a church, but also just in the heart, the individual. Look at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 15. It says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying..." Now, pay attention to verse 8. Highlight it, underline it, mark it, whatever you need to do. It says, "This people draweth unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips." Now, look at those last sentence. "But their heart is what? Far from me." Their heart is far from me. I will tell you, this is the root seed of legalism or of you know, many other sins, pride, and the list could go on and on. But he's saying this, they're saying one thing, and then they're doing another. Folks, that's the biggest problem. He calls it out in verse 7. He says, "Ye hypocrites." Now listen, I'm not saying that any one of us are perfect, right? Not one of us are. We teach, we preach, we believe, and we strive the best we can. But Christ is saying this, if you're going to say it, your actions, what you do needs to back up what you say. If you say, "I go to church," or if you say, "I follow Christ," or you say, "I'm a Christian," what's a Christian mean? To be like Christ, right? To strive to be like him. But then we're opposite in our lives, you know, and we see this so affluent in the world today and frankly in churches today to where we go to church, but then boy, as soon as we hit the workplace, we're just like the world. You know, the litmus test is this, if anyone was going to come and say, "Oh, you work with, you know, you work with Tim Helm at Lowe's, I go to church with him," what would their response be? "That guy goes to church? Are you kidding me? Man, he swears like a sailor," right? What would it be? You know, I'll tell you, I've had some of those difficult conversations. I've shared some of the stories with you with people to where they're just not. Listen, we can't have lip service. We'll touch on it Sunday morning as well, so I don't want to go in depth with it tonight. But what else does Christ say? Remember where he says, be either cold or hot, right? Either be on fire for him or just don't say a word or else you're what? What's the in-between? Lukewarm. And we all know what he says about lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You know, that's not an appetizing statement, but it's a true one. He's saying the same thing again and again and again. He wants us, he commands us to be the Christian that we're told, instructed to be. You see, these Judaizers were letting too much of the world, too much of tradition, too much of, well, this is what tradition says, so if we don't do it, then that trumps anything the Bible says. You say, that's horrible, Pastor, and it is. But if we're not careful, we tend to do the same thing. We tend to lean and fall into that same kind of trap and problem. Jesus also rebuked the Pharisees for adding extra biblical rules that became burdensome and unhealthy. In Matthew chapter 23, he says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Right? He gives this picture, and he says, you know, he lay great burdens on men's shoulders. In other words, these Pharisees, these Judaizers, they're very quick to say, well, you need to do and make out the list. But they themselves, they don't even lift a finger to try to make it happen for themselves, right? They're pointing, they're telling, they're saying, but they're not obeying. They're not following. They're not serving God. Even as we shun doctrinal legalism, we must be careful to avoid what could be called practical legalism as well. What would be considered? Give me a very, I don't know if I should do this or not. We will. Doctrinal legalism means that this is what we believe, all right? The Pharisees, the Judaizers, were very much into doctrinal legalism. They were believing that, they said, if you aren't circumcised, you're not going to heaven. That's what they're saying. You need that in order to go to heaven. We could say, well, we don't believe those things, Pastor, and I know that. But what we've got to be careful of is practical legalism. Practical legalism is saying, well, if you, and we're not going to fill in too many blanks here because it's just someone's going to get stuck on it. It's going to distort what matters. But whether it's someone, how someone dresses or someone, what they read or those pieces, and we set the same kind of standards that the Judaizers were doing. That's practical legal. That's what we deal with day to day. I grew up and we had attended for short times churches that were very much that way. I'll give you one example because I think it's a fairly safe example. But my mom, she used to say amen, right? And you're allowed to say amen too, okay? But she used to say amen in the service when the pastor was preaching. And she had someone pull her aside and say, the Bible says women can't talk in the church. You need to be quiet. Literally. Right? That's one very small example of practical legalism. Right? That's taking scripture out of context. That's taking something that God had and twisting it and ruining it and just making it fit where they want. Next, we see in verse 15, turn back to Galatians chapter 6, salvation is evidenced in a changed life. Look at the middle part of verse 15. It says, nor uncircumcision, then those next four words, but a new creature. You see, the only force that can have any influence is the regenerated person who now has received the new nature through this Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's one of my favorite verses, right? That old creature, that old nature. And we're told we're supposed to, essentially this, we're supposed to leave it at the cross. Why? Because Christ paid the price at the cross. That's the old, the new, in symbolic of the resurrection, the blood of Christ washed away our sins. We're a new creature. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean that if we had sins of the past, that the effects of that aren't still going to happen, right? If you smoke for 40 years and then you get saved and you quit smoking, and the Lord works in your heart and you quit smoking, it doesn't mean one day you're not going to have emphysema because of smoking for 40 years. Right? That's not it. What it means is we're supposed to act, we're supposed to be, we're supposed to focus on being that new creature in Christ. That we should be different from that old nature. When someone at work looks at us, they should see something very different than what they see around the world. The warning is to save men about the dangers of bragging about the outward conformities or the legalistic nature. It's not a matter of going to work and saying, I'm a Christian. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a, you know, fill in the blank. That's kind of that flip side of it too, to where we do so, but we do so with the wrong heart attitude. These religious rituals place the believer into a very legalistic system that teaches that outward conformity will bring full acceptance before God, and they're wrong. The belief system negates the acceptance that is found only in Christ Jesus through salvation. Turn to one more passage as we close up this portion, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You see, nothing else needs to be added to salvation for us to be accepted by God. It's only through God's grace that we're saved. It's only through the blood that washed away the sin of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 6. It says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." It's only through the redemption through his blood, through the blood of Jesus for salvation. When Christ carried his cross to Golgotha, he carried a weight that only he could bear. As he was crucified, he bore the weight of the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. Through his perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we know forgiveness and will soon know eternal life. Our feeble works cannot compare to his sacrifice. You know something sometimes that makes some of these verses a little bit richer, just a little more impactful, is when you talk with somebody who's on the edge of eternity, who's close to crossing over to see Christ. And when you hear them say, "Pastor, I'm just at peace. I'm ready to go home." It really brings some of those things just into a deeper light. It doesn't make it any truer. God's word is truth. But sometimes it just helps us see past the busyness of the world and see past the things of the world and just draw a little closer to him. See, again, our feeble works can't compare to his sacrifice, and nothing we can do can make his sacrifice any more perfect. Truly, we glory not in our works, but only in his cross. Again, it's not anything we can do. It's not anything about us or who we are. It's only completely about Christ. It's so dangerous. It's so difficult when we have people and they just cross those lines of that legalism. They cross those lines of just losing the focus on the things that matter. excuse me. We've got to make sure we just stay focused and centered upon the truth above the certainty of God's word. So we're going to stop there tonight, and next week we'll get into verse 16 and we'll finish out.